Let's sit down, everyone. We're going to listen to our reading from the Bible, and Douglas is coming to read for us.
Good morning. Our reading this morning can be found on page 1023 of the Church Bibles. It is Mark 15, verses 42 to 47, the burial of Jesus. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph brought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we're going to look at Mark chapter 15, verses 42 to 47. And I'm also going to kind of put a finger in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 38, because both of these accounts of the burial of Jesus are quite significant. The passage we had read for us about the burial of Jesus is sandwiched between two great events. One, the crucifixion of Jesus, and the other, the resurrection of Jesus. And it's sandwiched in between, almost like a footnote. And you would almost forgive yourself if you thought it didn't really matter. He died, that's what really mattered. Not that he was buried. He rose again, that's what really mattered. Not that he was buried. But it's significant that it's important, the gospel writers say, that he died, was crucified, died, and was buried. We know that the time this happened was the preparation day. Mark says this, and when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked him for the body of Jesus. So here we have this man, Joseph. We hear nothing of him. This is the first time we hear about this Joseph of Arimathea. He suddenly appears on the scene, and it's the day before the Sabbath. And he comes to Pilate, and he asks Pilate for the body of Jesus. So put it in his context. Around about midday on that day, that preparation day, the sky goes dark. There's darkness all around. At 3 o'clock, Jesus dies. It is finished. The Sabbath begins at 6 o'clock. They have under 3 hours, has Joseph, to get the burial prepared and done before the Sabbath comes. And so Joseph is going to Pilate and saying, can I have the body of Jesus for burial? So what do we know about Joseph? Let's just look at him first. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. That's a Jewish council. And it was they who went to Pilate first and asked for Jesus to be put to death. We know in another gospel that Joseph, being a member of the Sanhedrin, he didn't agree to that. He wasn't party to asking Pilate to put Jesus to death. We also know about Jesus that he was a rich man and that he had his own tomb, which he was going to give to Jesus. It's interesting to me that Joseph's tomb was in Jerusalem, not in Arimathea. And there's a significance there, because Joseph was one who was waiting for the kingdom, for the king to come and appear in Jerusalem. So he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was rich, he was upright, and he was good. And he was a secret disciple of Jesus. This is what John says. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. He had no courage. When Jesus was alive, he was afraid to admit that he was a follower of Jesus. He was scared. But something's happened to Joseph, because now Joseph has got this courage to go to Pilate and say, "Pilate, could you give me the body of this criminal who is hanging on the cross?" What has happened to Joseph? I believe that Joseph has seen the cross, has seen what has happened to Jesus on that cross. He loves Jesus. He's a follower of Jesus, but he's a coward. But when he sees Jesus hanging on the cross, I believe something happened to Joseph. And it was like Joseph was saying to himself, "I didn't honor Jesus when he was alive, but I will honor him now that he is dead." And he takes his courage and he goes to Pilate and he says, "Can I have the body of Jesus?" Now, when Pilate hears this, Pilate turns around and said, "You want the body of Jesus? Is he dead? Is he actually dead? Because it's only a few hours on the cross." So what does Pilate say? He calls the centurion who stood by the cross of Jesus and who said after the events, "Surely this was the Son of God." He gets him to come to the palace. The centurion, who is well-versed, the centurion is trained to do crucifixions. The centurion, above all other people, knows the difference between a body on the cross fainting and a body on the cross dead. He comes back and he says to Pilate, "He's dead. Absolutely, no question about it. He's dead." And so then Pilate stamps the official paper, gives it to Joseph of Arimathea, and says, "You can have the body." Remember, he's only got a short time to do what he wants to do and honor Jesus in this special way. So we know that he's not the only one who's going to take the body of Jesus down from the cross, because we hear, again, going to John chapter 19, verse 39, it says this, "Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight." So there's Nicodemus. And I can imagine the conversation between Joseph and Nicodemus once they've got the authority to take down the body of Jesus. "Okay, Nicodemus, you get the spices, I'll buy the linen, and I'll meet you at the cross." They rush off, they buy the spices, they buy the white linen, and they meet again at the cross to take Jesus down from that cross. Now listen. We've all been at the funerals of people we love, and we know how that feels. Try and feel Joseph and Nicodemus's heart at this time. They have to take Jesus, not down from the cross. They have to take Jesus off the cross because Jesus is nailed to the cross. They don't take him down. They lift him off the nails with his crown of thorns still in his head, and they lay him down. Can you imagine how they're feeling? And part of the burial rite was not just to take him off the cross. They had to wash the body. You had to wash the body clean before you wrapped the body in this white linen with the aloes and the spices. Can you imagine how that must have felt? There is Joseph wiping Jesus, wiping off the blood, the sweat, picking out the bits of wood that may have stuck to his body, making him completely clean, probably in great emotional trauma and distress as they do this. As Jesus is lying there, here is this man. Their hearts are broken, but there's something alight in them, something that they know, that this Jesus isn't the criminal. He is indeed the Messiah who died on the cross just hours before for their sins. And so they wash the body. And then with the spices, they wrap Jesus with this white linen. And there's something else happening. Some distance away, there are the women. And the women have been watching this. They've been watching Jesus crucified on the cross. They watched Joseph and Nicodemus take him off the cross. They watched him wash the body and wrap the body with the white linen and the spices. And when they see that, they then see them carry Jesus to this lovely tomb in a garden. The tomb of a rich man, which the prophecy of Isaiah said would happen in chapter 53 of Isaiah, verse 9. They take Jesus to the tomb. When a criminal was put to death, the reason that Pilate was surprised that Jesus was dead was because they could hang on a tree for days till they decomposed. And then when they were decomposed, they would take what was left of the body and they would throw it on the scrap heap and incinerate it, and the birds and the wild beasts to eat their bodies and so on. That's not going to happen to Jesus. Jesus is going to be put in a rich man's grave. He's going to be honored in a way that Joseph and Nicodemus never honored him when he was alive. And the women are watching this. And as soon as they see the tomb and the stone being rolled over, they say they left to go and get their own spices. Now, I've got a little understanding. Now, this is a bishop's thought. So it's not a Bible thought. It's a bishop's thought. I'm wondering if the women are watching what the men are doing to Jesus. And maybe the women are saying, do you know, you just can't trust the men to do it properly. It takes a woman to know what to do here. Because they go off and get their own spices. And maybe they want to come to the tomb and pay their own homage and worship to Jesus. So Joseph, he comes with Nicodemus, rolling the stone over the tomb. And that's it. In the 4th century AD, our church fathers put together the creeds. And it was very, very important, as I think we're going to say the Nicene Creed. I don't know if we are, but that part of the creed where it says, and Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried. They had to have that because there were rumors around that he wasn't really dead, that he had been resuscitated, that somehow he had come back to life after all that cruel suffering. But this was to say, no, we have eyewitnesses. Jesus died and Jesus was buried in the tomb. So I started to think, what does all this mean? What does it mean for me? And what does it mean to you? And first of all, my heart is full of the love for this man, Jesus. As we see, we can almost be there with Joseph and with Nicodemus, looking up at the cross. We might even be those who in our lifetime have said, you know, Jesus, there have been times when I've let you down. There's been times, Jesus, when I have not spoken up for you. There's been times, Jesus, when I just wanted to stay in the background. I wanted it to be secret that I was a follower of you. There'd be times like that, Jesus. And if that's you, then look up again, because this Jesus is not condemning you, but saying, just honor me with what you've got. All these events, they're all according to the prophecies that were written a long time ago. Nobody took Jesus's life. Jesus gave up his life for us willingly on the cross. He died there for your sin and for my sin. So maybe it's time, no matter how young or old you are, to bow in adoration once again at this Jesus. Are you sometimes like Joseph? I am, when fear has got my tongue. Maybe God is asking you, as he called Joseph, to step out. It's time for you to step out of something and step into something new and fresh. Maybe it's time for you to speak up. Maybe there's that person in your office, your place of work, maybe in your family, and God is saying, it's time to tell them. Share my love with them. Or maybe you think you've lost the moment, that somehow God has passed you by and that you regret something. You know, I wish I had, but you know, there is no regret with God. When you look over your life, as I do mine in particular today, you think of all the times when you just had that picture of Jesus dying on the cross for you, your heart is so full. And there's times when you just cannot stop yourself telling people about you. You become known as one of the Christian crazies. You're actually getting excited about Jesus. It's not very Anglican to get excited about Jesus. In West Hill, we were called and are called the Happy Clappy Church, because we get excited about what Jesus has done for us. So forget what is past. Forget about that fear and follow closely for this new day. But Joseph had to do this thing. He had to honor Jesus with what he had. And what did he have? Well, he had a voice. Please give me the body of Jesus. And he was rich. He could buy linen. Nicodemus could get the spices. And he had a rich man's tomb. So he gave what he could. He gave what he could to Jesus. And that is what discipleship is about today. I may not be giving to Jesus what you're giving. You may be giving to Jesus something completely different from that of your neighbor or the person sitting next to you. But what you have, give that to Jesus. What is he asking you to give him, to honor him, to honor him, and to have a life where you say, I want to live the rest of my life to honor the one who honored me by dying on the cross. Let's just go back. Let's go back to Joseph. I'm going to read now from John, just to reflect. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, went and asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So Joseph came and took away the corpse. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in that garden, a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, Joseph and Nicodemus laid Jesus there. He died for us. He was buried for us. He was raised for us. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us of all that Jesus has done for us. Lord, thank you for Joseph, for Nicodemus. Yeah, maybe they did mess up. Yeah, maybe they could have spoken up. But they were there in the end. And for such a time as this, you had called both those men for this amazing thing that they did to your son, Jesus. They honored him. They were so, so determined that Jesus would not suffer the outcome of a criminal and his body be thrown on a dust heap and a dump. They wanted their Jesus to be honored in his death, as he would be honored in his resurrection. And they did all they could. And what a fine thing they did, Lord. What a fine thing these men did. Probably the greatest thing they have ever done with their lives. Maybe regretting, yeah, a life full of regret. Oh, we should have spoken up. We should have done more for Jesus. How could we have been silent? But all that was forgotten. For that was their moment. There is always a second chance and a third chance. God has not given up on them. And Father, thank you that these men come and they honor Jesus. And we want to honor Jesus today. And the best way we know how is to say this: Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that you took away my sin. Thank you that that body, which was cleaned by Joseph, was the body that took my sin. Thank you that you were put into a grave and you were buried. And that not only did you die, you were raised to life. Thank you, Jesus. And now I commit my life afresh to you. I honor you. I worship you, Jesus. I want to give the rest of my life to the one who gave me everything. And I promise that I will continue yours forevermore. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.